the image coming through on our Zoom call, you look sexy. I mean, that's normal. Yeah. But you've got like a 70s vibe. Like it looks like, you know, in the old days they used to smear Vaseline on the camera to make it like a bit kind of, what's the effect?
Sort of soft focus packer.
Soft focus packer. Yeah, you're looking very soft focus.
Like an ABBA video. Didn't they sometimes have that a lot?
Yes.
Like everything was glinting and gleaming in a soft
way. Yeah, you
are
gleaming a bit in some places, but otherwise elsewhere it's sort of really smushed out the blemishes, the wrinkles, the scars.
Yeah, it'll do that.
The extra bits.
It is possible. I suppose it's possible that I have, while setting myself up for today's podcast, that I have died.
Yeah. Right.
So you might be broadcasting from a sort of netherworld.
It could be that I'm in the nether zone.
It looks like you're broadcasting from a kind of, from a tribute to yourself.
It could be that there is a nether zone from which you can still podcast and do certain basic admin tasks. You know, a kind of digital purgatory.
I'm just going to take a photograph because we can show the listeners what you look like. Give us a sort of ABBA-like grin. Wow.
I don't know what is happening, but I basically, it's something that happens to me every now and then.
You think it's happening to you rather than to your laptop camera?
You kind of go 70s.
You go quite sort of vapory.
It's either a skin condition or a kind of an atmospheric condition that I carry around with me in the, you know, obviously we all carry a certain degree, like the planet has its atmosphere, or people have a shroud or a halo of particles, particulate life.
You occasionally emit fog, sure.
It could be that I occasionally emit fog into that particulate, you know, into my particulate environs. Mm-hmm.
Like are you saying that you've got dry ice coming out of your ass?
Well, he's a showbiz professional.
I didn't want to put it as bluntly as that, Ben. But, I think we can all read between the lines and say that. Yeah, that is what I'm saying. I have dry ice coming out of my ass. Yeah. I don't know how to stop it. I don't know how to control when it turns on, when it turns off. I don't know who controls the nozzle, as it were.
It's probably a couple of dietary steps you could take in the first instance, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I should probably eat, well, either more or less bicarbonate of soda. Don't know which one. But unfortunately, I can't monetize it because I've never managed to control it. Obviously,
because the idea was, when you got it installed, the idea was you'd become a sort of human dry ice machine that you could hire out for parties.
Well, the first thing that hits anyone, when they realize they have dry ice coming out of their ass is, I could do this at weddings, isn't it?
I know the ABBA songs off pat as it is. I can do all four parts at the same time. That's not an issue. The issue is the mise-en-scene.
And if I can create the mise-en-scene myself, we are cutting down costs. So obviously it's potentially life-changing in a positive way. But as it happens, I don't know. I can't control when it happens.
Mm. And you can't afford to strobe your nostrils yet, can you?
For the fun experience.
I'm still looking for some loans in that regard. To develop that technology.
Oh, look, darling, Henry's dropping his trousers. They must be about to do the first dance.
Waterloo.
No one's had their first dance at a wedding to Waterloo by ever.
What would that say? Waterloo. What's the message?
What's about the union?
Well, it could be that one, if not both, of the people work at the Upper Crust in Waterloo Station.
Yeah, good point.
It could be for the first time.
The first time a British and French people have married together.
That's never happened. But what's happened? What's even more controversial? We saw one from Delice de France marrying someone from Upper Crust, which would be.
Oh yeah,
that would augur world peace. Surely,
someone from Delice de France marrying someone from the West Cornwall Pasty Company.
Oh, and I tell you what, it would be such a hopeful thing. There'd be news crews from all over the world covering it. Like if this divide can be crossed. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. A real time for peace and optimism until they came to discussing who's doing the catering for the wedding. Oh, which point?
Back to square one.
Well, you'd have to go for a neutral vendor.
You'd have to go for Jamie Oliver's Pasta Pizza Parlour. What are they called?
Jamie's Italian.
Jamie's Italian.
That shut down years ago, Mike.
Did it?
No, it won't have done. It won't have done an Exeter.
Not Exeter, no.
it's just being built.
They had their inaugural night last night.
We've still got Tony Blair as Prime Minister in Exeter.
Tony Blair's pizza.
Tony Blair.
So, Henry.
No. Yeah. So, yeah. Go on.
Returning to the image that you're broadcasting to us, I think possibly if you were to wipe your camera with a tissue or something. I think it's probably a thick layer of grease that somehow. Were you recently eating a croissant near the laptop?
Yes.
Were you preparing a banana bread on top of your laptop screen?
I did extract the blubber from 1,000 geese.
Okay. And evened out the layers using the edge of your laptop.
Yeah, it's a little thing I'm working on for the Jubilee celebration, which involves reducing 1,000 geese.
A gigantic goose candle.
Yeah. So it could be that.
And if anyone wants, 999 beaks.
Yeah, obviously I'll be keeping one of them for myself.
Yeah.
Get in touch.
Get in touch, yeah, for your commemorative beaks.
So what I'm saying is, please wipe that camera.
Yeah, I guess, sorry.
With a clean tissue, Henry.
Oh, God.
Using a fistful of balled up goose feathers. Here we go.
How's that?
Oh, there he is.
That's a bit
Sometimes
better.
This happens on my camera, on my phone. I'm not joking, this does happen. All the photos I produce look like they've been either smeared in goose fat or they're from an outtake from an ABBA video from the 70s. I get this kind of glossy sort of sheen on things. I do. Maybe it's to do with my head grease leakage. I don't know. It's possibilities.
You need an antimacassar for your laptop.
Yeah. Is that any better?
That is actually better, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Wow.
What a dirty little boy.
I know. Sorry about that.
Mike, I've got a bit of news for you. You can enjoy this, Henry.
Yeah, go on.
After many years toiling in the forest of jazz, rock and blues. The Axeman hath a new axe. Welcome to Guitar Talk with Ben and Mike.
Yes. Look at that. It's a classic Stratocaster shape, maple fingerboard. Z-shaped coils. Very exciting. Who's that made by? I can't see on the headstock.
That's made by G&L. So that's the company that was made by Leo Fender after he left Fender. He then set up G&L.
Fucking kill me.
And carried on innovating. Really. So he took the classic strap, changed the pickups.
No,
they were kind of a Z
why?
Thing. So what
Please,
it means is...
No.
Yeah, tell me about the Z coils.
No.
I didn't know about the Z coils.
I don't want to know
the
Z.
Well, you still get the kind of spanky kind of strap-like tones.
You get the brisk, like the single coil.
Oh,
brisk,
God, don't talk about
you get the single coil thing, but they act a bit like a humbucker, so...
Okay.
They smooth off the
I don't want to know
the
what the harshness. Fuck humbucker is. I don't
but also,
know, I don't
you're
care.
Not getting that buzz. So,
cut out mine eyes. Take mine eyes and mine ears. Take mine face. God.
Well, that's a real beauty, Ben.
I'm totally outnumbered now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be on the hunt for an idea for a jingle this episode to see if we can get you shredding that in a new jingle someday soon.
I've had an idea for a jingle, by the way.
Oh, great. Yeah, go on.
Which is a jingle, which is... Should we play when we haven't had a jingle for a while? And that's what it is. It's the haven't had a jingle for a while jingle.
I don't like that idea. I can't tell you why. I just don't like it.
Yeah. I felt like it wasn't smashing it when there was... when I saw the looks of disgust on both of your faces. Well, fine.
Is it fine? You don't seem like it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Right, come on, let's get on with it. We'll talk about a topic. Come on. Funny, yeah, come on. It's fine, let's just talk about the topic and get it over with. All right, so Mike says something, I say something. Yeah. Probably not really on the topic. Doesn't matter, then we move on to something else. Great. People have emailed in. Brilliant. Yeah. Great, isn't it? Yeah, so what great idea have we got?
Bin machine. Okay, so this week's topic, as sent in by Michael Ronson, is France.
Take it away, Henry Packer. So your first instinct is to hi-hi the national anthem whenever you hear a mention of France.
Was that the
English? So well-trained you are.
That was God Save the Queen.
Oh, that was God Save the Queen. Yeah. Well, exactly, and that's the point I'm making. France, France, France. And we cut off all your faces. They say it's really violent, don't they? And we put all your blood in a bag. And we take all your ankles and we boil them down to a soup.
And we feed it to your grandma.
They say it's, don't they?
Well, you say they say. It's probably quite accessible. I mean, it's in another language, but that's not impossible to overcome, is it?
A language you're very familiar with, Henry.
Yes, in theory. Well, yeah, I have been to France recently. So I've got some hot news on France. I've got a very, very hot takes.
You've got your finger on the pulse.
I've got my finger on the French
on
pulse.
On le pulse. If I may,
Henry, I've got the lyrics here to the national anthem. Can you translate?
Oh, God.
Allons enfants de la patrie.
Come on then, children of the country.
Le jour de gloire est arrivé.
The day of glory has arrived.
Contre nous de la tyrannie.
We're not fans of tyranny.
L'automne sanglant est levé.
The autumn of art and blood has risen.
Entendez-vous dans la campagne?
Is that sort of mixed meaty soup that you're talking about?
that sounds like a meaty soup they're describing. Listen in the countryside.
Mugir ses féroces soldats.
Go and play with your iron soldiers.
Something like that. Or I thought it was muffle the soldiers, possibly.
Muffle the ferocious soldiers.
Muffle the ferocious soldiers, possibly give them muffles.
Ils vignon jusque dans nos bras.
There's some vinegary juice on our arms. So I'm going, that's possibly going to do with making salad dressing. And could be.
Es gorge nos fils, nos compagnes.
And let's gorge on our children and our compatriots.
And then we reach the refrain. Oh, armes citoyens.
Oh, old citizens.
Formez vos bataillons.
Form yourself into stick-shaped rows.
Marchons, marchons.
Walk, walk.
Kun sang impure.
With pure buttock blood. or blood of the anus. But I'm getting, yeah. Obviously, if you're eating, yeah, presumably that's something to do with eating too much baguette or something. It's something to do with constipation.
Abreuve nos sillon.
Abbreviate our, and it's a kind of mushroom that you only get in the south.
With a very long name.
Yeah, you can't, essentially, you can't, what that is, that's a directive to the country to abbreviate the mushroom names. We've got a lot of long mushroom names in this country.
For a sense of nationwide unity.
Yeah, yeah, we cook with mushroom a lot. Yeah. If you're going to get anything done, abbreviate those mushroom names.
So, Henry, you were indeed in France.
I was in real France.
French France.
So, my hot recent take. So, France, it's still in my system. It's still in my blood. I still haven't, for example, I still have another, I would say, afternoon of defecating food that was eaten in France.
Oh, it's still going through.
Digestive tract talk.
Because Brexit has slowed it down, isn't it?
Brexit has slowed it.
Has to go through a series of checks before it can pass through.
There's a lot more paperwork now.
You have to get some red and green lanes installed in your lower intestine.
Exactly. Obviously, it's very complicated because sometimes you'll eat a sandwich in France which has non-EU as well as EU ingredients in it.
Yes.
There may be mayonnaise from America, which obviously we have a separate trade deal with. Yeah. There'll be French mustard. Obviously, that comes under EU.
Yeah.
So
there's a Cornish butter.
There could be some Cornish
they
butter
won't
in
admit
there.
It, but it's in there.
And each of those things has paperwork that needs to be signed off
by a lorry driver.
by a trilingual lorry driver based in your appendix.
So it's, you know, it has turned these things into a bit of a nightmare. Obviously, I have always sworn that I will not have a borderline anywhere up my arse.
Yeah. Anal sovereignty has always been one of your...
It's been one of my absolute immutable beliefs and principles.
Yeah.
So what's happened is I'm using my pancreas as a holding zone.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because the pancreas, obviously, it's not digestive, but it's also not... it's not exactly... I mean, it's not clear... It's the nearest thing,
isn't
it?
It's not a sort of biscuit.
It's not a sort of biscuit. It's the nearest thing to a diplomatic sort of, you know...
it's kind of no man's land in the gut.
It's a no man's land, isn't it, digestively speaking. It's not taking part directly in
it. It's a visiting dignitary from Bhutan.
Exactly. So what I'm doing, I'm using that as a holding pen. So as things like croissants and stuff get mashed up by, obviously, the first stage of digestion is the knife and fork. You're breaking it down on the plate. That's called external digestion. That's the first type. Then you've got your macerators, your teeth. You've got the acid, which gets shot out of the back of your mouth onto it. Throat acids begin to dissolve it. It goes down your throat, your larynx, doesn't it? Or your...
directly into your lungs.
It goes directly into your lungs. That breaks it up into lots of tiny little bits, doesn't it? Because it's got...
So aerosols it.
It aerosols, it aerates it. Mm-hmm. You get the air through it. Mm-hmm. Then it comes, obviously, as you retch and cough, it comes back up into your throat, back down
it's
again.
It's a more easily digestible spray now.
Exactly, now it's a kind of atomized spray, a kind of cologne. And that gets mashed up in your stomach. And so at the moment, there's a side, normally it goes down to your upper intestine first, gets it into the big chunks, then your lower intestine chunks it up even smaller, dices it, or juliennes it in France.
Because, of course, French people have a sort of internal mandolin, don't they? That's the thing.
That's right. Well, it's because they've got a much more sophisticated palate, much more sophisticated internal organs.
Yeah.
The British internal digestive system is very much a blunt tool, isn't it, Mike? I mean, you've...
Well, it's like an anvil.
It's like exactly. Like, it's essentially dropping an anvil on it.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You're taking a walnut, you're dropping an anvil on it. That's how our digestion solves the problem.
It's just one big crusher.
Whereas in France, you've got a multi-sided... sort of mandolin, haven't you? You've got julienning, you've got...
Fricasseeing.
Parmesaning. so anyway, so a lot of my food from the holiday has been siphoned into a processing zone in my pancreas. And so it's taking a lot bit longer to get through the system.
So it's just being processed. It's kind of like a sort of corporeal Northern Ireland.
Exactly. But what we've had to do is declare a sort of semi, sort of non-literal border... about 4 inches, well, outside of my anus, essentially. There's a...
So once it comes out, it's going to be processed externally?
Some of it is going to have to be processed externally. I don't really want to have to talk about this necessarily. It's not very nice. But I will...
Well, it's not nice for the customs official who has to hover.
Well, it's not nice for him. No. He has to hover there with a sieve, with a...
And a little book of chitties. Dockets.
He's got a lot of those, you know, those coloured little tabs you can get from Ryman's that you stick in a folder to sticking out of your book. He's got so many of those, loads of them.
Yeah,
they're becoming increasingly discoloured with each day that passes.
Yeah, and you know, it's just it's bureaucracy gone mad. It's too much. But this is the way things have to be.
But also, given the state of the food in France, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
Oh, it's worth it. I didn't regret it for a second.
So you were in France last week. I assume you ate a croissant while you were there?
Yes. Yes.
Was that croissant? Did you have more than one?
Well, whenever I'm in France, I like to try and have a croissant every day, if possible.
Yeah.
And whenever I have a day in France that when I haven't had a croissant, I feel a bit sad.
May as well be in Germany.
Yeah. Exactly. I think I had about three. I reckon I had three and a couple of pound chocolats as well.
Okay, so take those three croissants, create an average croissant based on those three.
Well, they're all from the same bakery, so that's going to be quite easy.
Okay.
I mean, they're all very similar, but yeah.
Don't say that, Henry. The difference is in the moisture in the air.
I know. You're
how
right.
many birds are singing outside.
The political temperature of the day.
Yeah, how much unrest was happening on the road outside.
Yeah. How much jazz was being pumped out of a vinyl record player within earshot?
Exactly.
That sort of thing, yeah.
How many old men were playing patonk outside?
Exactly.
Okay, so take that average croissant.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it better or worse than the average Pret croissant?
Oh, well.
What a question, Ben. That seems provocative.
Look. Bearing in mind that Prets are technically French soil.
That's true.
That's right.
They're one of the external territories.
Yeah, they have a sort of embassy function.
Guadeloupe, Martinique, and 8,000 Pret-a-Mangers.
And there are certain crimes you can only commit in a Pret, aren't there? Because they don't... Do they have an extradition treaty with France?
Well, they are France.
So they don't need one.
They can set up a whole court system on the drop of a hat.
Yeah, or sometimes if the loos are... If the toilets are out of order in a Pret, it's because there is actually behind that, there is an entire French court that's been set up.
And sure, some of the jury are sausage rolls, but that's because there's not enough French citizens in the venue at the time.
Yeah. And also, where do you think Pret got that skill at doing posters where they turn food into sort of faces and stuff? It's because of the amount of food juries they have to create, isn't it? They can get the contents of a posh cheddar sandwich and turn that into 12 jurors.
It tends to be quite a hawkish jury, though, doesn't it?
It will tend to be hawkish, but that's because it's got a harder crust, that loaf. But if you go for the pole, certainly in the triangular bread sandwich version, you're looking...
You're getting a very easy ride.
You're getting an easy ride, my friend. You are getting an easy ride.
And of course, if you are found guilty by the mayor of your local Pret and the jury, you're then beheaded with one of those silver trays. They just throw it odd job style.
Yeah, that's why they got those special bins with head holes in.
That's right.
So yeah, so bearing in mind that Pret is France, and so the croissants are pretty good, I think, in Pret, I would say.
Well, look, I don't know how far back to go with this. This is a big topic. I mean... croissants on UK soil.
Yeah.
So I'm including Pret's in that because the soil under a Pret, certainly if you go under about 200 metres, it does become British soil eventually. I know that they've flown in a lot of French soil, haven't they, to go underneath them. But eventually you do get down to British soil. So I'm going to...
You go deep enough. Yeah.
If you go deep enough, you start hitting gammon and ham.
Boiled eggs. And cups of sort of tepid tea.
And the Branston layer, of course,
the Branston layer. Yeah, certainly croissants that have been available to us in Britain have improved a lot over the last 10 to 15 years, I'd say. Pret have brought in quite a high level of croissant. The thing with the Pret croissant is it depends what time of day you go in there and whether you've got a fresh batch or not. It's a bit like chips in a chippy. If you've got a fresh batch, you're laughing. If it's quite an old batch, they're very, very buttery. And they can get a bit sloppy, a little bit. They can lose their integrity a bit. They can flop in your hand. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I would just like to say that in a chippy, I like them when they're old.
Do you?
Nice.
You like
and
them when they've been cooked about five times.
You like that, do you?
And they've been sitting there getting really soggy and yeah. And there's little weird bits of like batter in there from something else.
Yeah. And from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You want the newspaper they're wrapped in to be about the Suez crisis, don't you?
I do.
But you're not interested.
So I would say that they were better than the Pret croissant.
Okay.
But for the first time recently in Britain, I've been finding that the average croissant is potentially fighting, you know, could look a French croissant in the eye and not blink.
Wow.
I think the UK croissant has come on leaps and bounds.
And yet the French pork pie is still in the doldrums. they haven't risen to meet us, have they?
And they cannot get a boiled egg. They've not mastered the skill of getting a boiled egg to sort of...
Inside a pie
and to extrude itself through...
Not out of its shell, at least.
Not out of its shell.
It's still in its shell at the moment.
But the skill to get a boiled egg to extrude itself down a sort of 4-foot-long pie... Which is a skill we've got in Britain, so that every slice has a cross-section of egg in it. They've not managed that.
Yeah. And they never will.
And they never will.
Once that secret is out, Britain is done for.
We're over. And if you've ever tried one of their grotesque pork pie tartars...
That's when you have a raw pork pie.
It's absolutely rancid.
Shredded in front of you.
Well, they've tried to stick crust pastry on a live pig. It's the ultimate pork tartare. One thing that's different about France is they still operate, the boulangerie system in France is still has to be run by a sweet sort of couple. There's a sort of basically the husband makes the bread in the back, so he's a kind of hunched over, very very gnarled hands,
kind of pounding his life's frustrations into the dough,
pounding all his hate, all his frustration.
Yeah,
he's never been able to leave the village because they need baked goods.
They need baked goods every morning. And he's on an absolutely cruel schedule. He basically gets up at about 9:30 in the evening.
He gets up before he's gone to bed.
He gets up before he's gone to bed.
Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
He's on yeast time now.
And the fact that he even has a bed is just a cruel reminder of everything. He doesn't need a bed. So that's why they're often their bed is only about 3 foot long, because it's purely symbolic. The rest of the time, he'll have a bed which he can get into, but it's a sort of a bit like Wallace and Gromit thing. You get into the bed, you fall straight through a tube.
Yeah. You
land
back in the bakery.
Land in your
directly into the kitchen.
Land in your lingerie boots, and you're at it again. And in fact, every part of the lingerie, if you even sit down for 5 minutes, the chair is a fake chair that opens up. You fall through it
down to the next layer.
Down to the next layer, which is
an even hotter lingerie.
With even more angry, impatient customers.
Wanting longer and longer and longer baguettes.
And with more and more and more layers on the millefeuille. It becomes millionfeuille. And then under that, it's the billionfeuille layer. So, yeah, so they get up incredibly early. They do one batch. So if you miss your croissants,
you're done for.
Whereas in Pret, obviously, Pret has... I think we've discussed this before, but the breakthrough with Pret and... you'll see it in Nero, Cafe Nero's and Tesco Express's, which is the mastery of the miniature baking oven, essentially. Which is, we've designed a miniature baking oven in Britain, whereby you can now have fresh produce in a garage. My garage has fresh croissants. They're not great. They're sloppy. They're wet. They have no integrity whatsoever.
They're the wrong shape.
They're the wrong shape.
They've got a sausage running through the middle of them. But they are hot.
They're covered in crusted in sort of mashed up egg mayo. And they've got a chocolate Mikado stick run through them.
Through the sausage.
The sausage.
With a crumbled Kinder Bueno over the top.
And each one of them comes with a free defrosting kit for your car.
Henry.
Hi.
Verse 2.
Oh. Good job.
Cover cette horde d'esclaves.
Cover this horde of slaves.
De traits de rats conjurés.
With treats conjured from rice.
Pour qui ces ignobles entrées?
For whom these ignoble starters?
Ces faits des longtemps préparés.
Have made long-term plans.
Français, pour nous, quel outrage!
France, for us, this is such an outrage.
Quel transport il doit exciter?
Such an exciting eel transportation.
C'est nous quand on se médite.
It's us when we are meditating.
De rendre à l'antique escalavage.
Oh, on the Atlantic escalator.
On the all happening on the Atlantic escalator, indeed.
Yeah, it begins to.
It does start to take shape, doesn't it?
It really paints a picture, doesn't it? Have you been to non-French France?
I've been to Pret.
Pret, of course.
So where is there? There's Guadeloupe, there's Martinique, there's French Guiana.
French Guiana, they've got their own space station in French Guiana as well, haven't they?
Yeah, that's where all the European stuff goes up.
Oh, is it?
That's where they launch all the European
ones. Have you been to French Guiana?
No. I'd love to, though. I think it's guarded by legionnaires.
Yeah, the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
There's a thing, but that's one of their jobs, the Foreign Legion, is to guard that. Space base, isn't it?
It sort of feels to me, Mike, like you're going to know about the French Foundation. Yeah. So I've never understood it. Is it that if you murder someone, you then go to France and say, I'm a murderer, but not to worry, I'll join the army and you can forget about it. Is that how it works?
They say not. They say, so the modern French Foreign Legion would say, no, we don't take people with criminal records, or you've got to be above board and you've got to have a passport, blah, 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 blah. I think the reality is that all sorts of rum chaps turn up still to this day that would rather be
else. Do you have to be French?
You have to not be French. I think you can. I think the officers are French.
Oh, so Foreign Legion means people who are foreign. It doesn't mean you're going to foreign places. It means you're not French.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think their base is in the south of... They train them in the south of France. That's where their base is. But they, yeah, they send them all over. So they very much send them to the nastiest places in the world. I think they have a very low threshold. If they've got to send someone to a really nasty war zone in Mali or Afghanistan, they might just send some legionnaires first and see how it goes for a bit.
Oh,
it's pretty
I
brutal. But I think if you go, you have to commit for, you know, 5 or 6 years minimum. And it's brutal.
Is it like being a mercenary, sort of, is it?
Not quite. I think it's just someone else's army, isn't it? You'd fight for the French, but you're not French.
So could we join, for example? Or do you need any military acumen?
I suspect you and I are probably a bit over the hill.
Oh, fuck off. Really?
Age-wise.
I'm getting in, am
I? I think age-wise and probably your knee would probably... I think we'd wouldn't last 5 minutes. Ben is prime exactly
peak
what they're after. Absolute peak legionnaire material.
This guy, Ben Partridge, we feel he could make the difference.
He's got the skills, he's got the musculature, he's got the ruthless streak that they need.
And he's...
Yeah. It's about a will,
he's the
right?
perfect
it's a mindset.
Age. It doesn't matter about his body. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He's got...
his slug-like body is no problem.
Look, we can... I know he's slug-like. We have tailors working on a suit which can contain his slug-like form as we speak.
He's not going to burn his hands going down those ropes. He can just slide down it.
Yes.
And he oils it for the next person. It's extraordinary.
He can slip between land and sea, just like an actual slug. He's fully amphibious. We can use it to our advantage.
Real slugs can't slip between land and sea.
Exactly. He's better than an actual slug. You're making my argument for me. Now... He's the perfect age. Everyone has the kill age. It happens to all of us. Doesn't matter your body. Doesn't matter that once at five aside, Henry, a guy called Henry, very, very barely brushed against him and he fell on the floor, weeping like a... He fell on the floor, clutching parts of it.
Forget about these asthma inhalers. We can worry about that later on. Yeah, don't put it on the form, whatever you do.
When thrown into a fire, an asthma inhaler is a grenade.
You take a man with an asthma inhaler and surround him by wolves.
Or put him in a jungle in French Guiana and make him guard a space rocket for 5 years.
You will see the true heart of the beast. The ultimate soldier. Yes, yes, that is what he is. We believe he is the ultimate mega soldier. We need to pluck him from Cardiff. Pluck him.
We heard that the Welsh have a secret weapon. We must have him. Oh well, yeah. I probably can't do the podcast next week, Jack. So I'm not sure how flexible they are about.
I think 5 years. I think then you can apply to be a French citizen, and then we can carry on the podcast with you broadcasting from Nantes.
Oh, great! Yeah,
once you've done all that.
So is that what you get then if you in return?
I think so.
It's a good sort of Plan C, let's say. Maybe not Plan B, isn't it? The French Foreign Legion of like, if everything goes wrong, at least you can still
be, at least you can be brutalized.
You can be brutalized and eventually riddled with bullets in a very, very hot, very, very humid forest somewhere.
Should we skip on to the final verse?
Yes, please.
This is verse 7.
Okay. Bloody hell.
Crumbs.
I know. Okay.
Good on them.
Nous entrons dans la carrière.
We're going into the cash and carry.
Correct.
As the end of every French trip, that's how it goes. Quand nos anus... Sorry, there's no other way to say it. Ne seront plus...
When we no longer have anuses. Right.
Nous et trouverons le poussière.
We are looking for the papoose.
Et les tresses de le vertus.
And the vertical trestle tables.
Bien moi zalou de le sevri... Serve.
Good old Mama Zulu's got a wicked serve.
Que de partager le circule.
Spreading the, or arranging the pâté in a circle.
Nous aurons le sublime orguil.
We will have the sublime motor oil.
And the final line, de les venger ou de les suivre.
To avenge ourselves through swivelling.
There we are.
It's quite moving, isn't it?
It's
really
quite moving.
It's extremely moving. I couldn't even thought about the translation before.
It's extremely moving.
Wow.
All right, it's time to do the emails.
Yes, please.
If you want to email us, the email address is 3beansaladpod@gmail.com. Why don't we start with our old friend, Listener Bollocking of the Week.
Accessing Listener Bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
Now, these days, it seems as if bollockings come in twos.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Often two people will pick up on the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And send in...
A pair of bollockings.
A pair of bollockings.
It's appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, this one, I feel like there's been some... There's a lack of accuracy in the way the bollocking is aimed with this one.
Right. It can be a blunt tool.
Yeah. So this is Rob from Bremen. And this is making reference to the last episode of the previous series, where we talked about Henry's secondary podcast, or maybe Henry, your primary podcast, I'm not sure. Owl Fuckers.
Yeah, with a Z.
With a Z.
That's because we're skewing younger than for this podcast. Because three bean salad, we talked about spelling salad with a Z, didn't we?
Yeah. I've even removed the Z from my surname as well, haven't I? Just to make sure that we don't skew in the wrong way.
Mike Woniak.
That's right.
Rob writes, "Hello, Beans. It's with a heavy heart that I'm sending you this email, but some things are simply unforgivable. I've just listened to your latest Tusks episode, where I was appalled to hear Henry, and then Ben, I think we will circle back to that, refer to an owl's anus.
Oh, God.
Given your ornithocentric history, I was dismayed by your ignorance of avian biology. Birds do not have anuses. They have cloacae, you fools. The cloaca, brackets Latin for sewer, is present in birds, reptiles, amphibians, and a small number of mammals, and is responsible for the excretion of both urine and feces, hence the consistency of bird shit. Yours inconsolably, Rob from Bremen. Anthony emails and with simply the words, cloaca, 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 cloaca. Birds don't have anuses, they have cloaca. One hole for all their excretory needs. Anthony. P.S. My little cloacaed wonder loves the bluebell song and sang along like a moron, so thank you.
So does he own a bird?
It sounds like a pet rather than a spouse or child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want a human with a cloaca is not ideal, is it? No, that wouldn't be that. That wouldn't be.
No, and you know, no matter how well-meaning it is, you should never give your spouse the nickname the cloacaed wonder.
what's your take on this then? That's been directed.
Well, can I before Henry decides whether he accepts the bollocking or not, obviously the bollocking has come my way as well.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do accept that. I just want to say that I heard Henry say owl's anus, and I thought I was at a crossroads. I could say, no, Henry, owls don't have an anus. They have a cloaca, as I was fully aware of.
Okay.
Or I could, you know, let Henry off for once.
It's an oft-used defence, isn't it? You stood by.
You're passing the buck, are you?
You stood by and did nothing.
You stood by. Exactly. You stood by and did nothing, and maybe that was just as bad.
I think that does make you complicit.
I'm actually worse than Henry in some ways.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe that was just as bad, if not of worse, than saying owl's anus is to stand by and do nothing while others say owl's anus.
Well, your head is full of cloaca. Cloaca. You say cloaca.
I say a cloaca.
Actually, you're right. The more I reflect on that, I knew what was happening in front of me, and I should have said,
that made you
owls don't have an anus, you fool.
That's not in the spirit of the Legionnaire, Ben.
Really? Do you think this latest thing could jeopardise my application?
I think they need to train it out of you.
You're going to have to understand bird digestive systems if you're going to turn them into weapons when you're 3 months, you know, behind enemy lines in French Guiana in the jungle.
All there is to arm yourself with is a half-dead parakeet or a toucan.
All you're going to have is the intestinal tracts of various different animals. You're going to be wearing them, eating them, weaponizing them.
Living in them.
You're going to have to understand that stuff.
So, Henry, I heard contrition from Ben there.
Yeah, no.
For me, it's a bollocking accepted. I've come around to that.
Bollocking accepted. So, but what I'm interested in what is a cloaca? It's a funny word, isn't it? A cloaca.
It's the Latin for sewer.
So they've got a sewer. These birds, well, they've got a kind of effectively a sewer, which is a pipe that's full of piss and shit, essentially. So a horrible mucky stew a kind of. And that's why they do the liquid. So when you say, oh, a bird shat on my head, what you should really be saying is a bird has shat and pissed on my head simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been anointed by the cloaca.
What does a cloaca look like? Is it a sphincter-shaped muscle, like an anus, or is it like more like a sewage outlet? Is it more like it's a pipe that sticks out of the back?
Constantly emptying into the sea.
Yeah, to what extent can they control it? Do you know, does it work differently?
I think it's like the back of a dumper truck.
Okay.
Well, it sort of mashes it down.
It's got huge hinges.
Okay, I'm looking at a cloaca. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, that's...
I mean,
that's it's done an your algorithms of mischief, hasn't it, Henry?
I mean, it's an anus by any other name, isn't it?
An anus by any other name would still smell as sweet.
Yeah, okay, I can...
Are you conceding, Henry?
I concede that, yeah. Bollocking accepted. We've got to apologise. This has been a really gross episode again, hasn't it?
It's been heavy on the digestive tract talk.
Yeah.
We might have to use the digestive tract talk extra jingle.
Have we got one of those?
Yeah.
Digestive tract talk extra. Oh, no.
Maybe we need a whole other, like, sorry, this was anus heavy jingle. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then in a way, you're just making it worse.
Exactly, you're drawing attention
creating more
to it.
Anus content.
What's the opposite of an anus? Maybe that's what we should talk about.
A mouth?
A mouth.
But let's not start talking about what opposites are. Because the way you talk about it, the opposite of an anus would be like a beach club.
A really nice beach club with great prawn cocktail, Sky Sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice area for the kids. Everyone can have a good time.
Quiz on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Curry night on a Wednesday.
Curry night on a Wednesday.
Barbecue on a Sunday.
And you can hire snorkel stuff, but a couple of the masks, the plastic bit has started to perish a bit. You may get a bit of leakage. You might get some salt water in your eyes. Yeah, you can't sue us for that. We are. It's at your own risk. So there's quite a lot of paperwork around the snorkeling gear. Apart from that, it's a really good standard beach club. Yeah? That is the opposite of an anus.
Yeah.
I've got a question, though. So I'm going to accept the bollocking, but I'm actually going to throw out a question back to these...
You're turning it into a bollocking dialogue.
Let's turn this into a bollocking dialogue. Mm-hmm. That's how we move past bollockings. What have something I've always intrigued me is how the bloody hell do birds reproduce? They clearly don't have any sex. They clearly don't have any sex organs. I mean, we've all carved a chicken. Would you like some breast? Yes, please. Do you want to have a go on the wishbone? Yes, please. And who's going to eat the penis? Don't think we've ever had that. Anyone's ever had that conversation. So they don't have sex organs. No one's ever seen them having sex. How on earth do birds reproduce? Is it cellular division?
Or spores? Is it lab-based?
Is it scientific? Good question. Good option.
Also, you've brought up a good point with the carving the roast chicken.
Mm.
Next time I do that, maybe this very weekend, I'll be searching high and low for that cloaca.
For the tangy meats of the cloaca.
It's KFC's spring menu.
Cloaca kiddie bites. What am I going to do? £2.99.
No. Well, good question. I think The weird thing about our listenership is whenever we have a question, we do tend to get like a PhD level answer from someone who happens to be a sort of cloaca expert. Yeah. So I'm sure we will get something. So yeah, do email in if you know. Well, seeing as you took that bollocking with such good grace, Henry, do we think we could give him another one?
Yeah.
Do you think you could handle a double bollocking?
Ooh, don't get greedy. But okay, give it a go.
Let's see what happens.
This is from Carl. This is interesting because Carl is somebody that we all know.
Oh, is that Carl?
Carl!
Carl from Barry in South Wales.
Carl Chappell. Yep.
So it'll be interesting this because there's a bit of, you know, in the past, all the bollockings have basically been anonymous.
Yeah. And that's why I've liked them.
But, you know, you've got to face this guy probably at some point. Dear Beans, I'm sorry to have to submit this bollocking. And particularly to direct it at Henry, whom I think may be the tallest of the Beans and perhaps the most sensitive.
Oversensitive is the term he's looking for.
So Carl says, he's sorry to direct it at Henry, but it's out of my hands. Mm-hmm. A recurring offence must be addressed. In the Ways of Seeing sub-episode, which, by the way, you can only access if you're a Patreon listener, Henry twice, although this is putting off people potentially to sign up and listen to this given that it's so riddled with accuracies. In the ways of seeing sub-episode, Henry twice, and possibly more, I had to switch off.
Bloody hell.
Refers to Leonardo da Vinci as Da Vinci. And in the latest episode, Tusks, he did it again. This needs to stop. Despite the practice of master story weaver Dan Brown and his creations, Leonardo may respectfully be referred to as Leonardo or as Leonardo da Vinci, but not as Da Vinci. Da Vinci is not the great polymath's name. It is his address.
Oh, I don't know about this as a response to a bollocking, do you?
Has it all gone wrong? Wow, what the power of that bollocking.
This is a Bean emergency. Please try to remain calm.
So for me, I think Henry's on a bit of a kind of delay. So
am I?
I'm hearing you after seeing you. Are you getting that, Mike?
Say something, Henry.
Hello.
No? Couldn't be a less helpful way.
There's no way of knowing what my lip function shape should be at all, and it's a long, continuous, repeated sound.
Uninterpretable test.
It's basically white noise. It's the equivalent of silence. How's that?
Fine. Let's. So, Leonardo may respectfully be referred to as Leonardo or as Leonardo da Vinci, but not as Da Vinci. Da Vinci is not the great polymath's name. It is his address.
So he is Leonardo from Vinci.
Yes. He? Yeah.
Oh, he's from Vinci.
He's from Vinci.
So I've been calling him from Vinci.
When he could have been, there's Steve da Vinci, Marion da Vinci.
There'd be loads of people from Vinci. Okay, that's fair enough. That would be like me calling Ben just from Cardiff.
Yeah.
Would it?
Calling Mike of Exeter.
Or calling me from the pulsating cultural hub of the Northern Hemisphere.
Bradford has newly declared.
Yeah, city of culture.
Is it? Well done, Bradford.
So what do you think, Henry?
Yeah, I'll 100% take that, yeah.
Bollocking accepted.
Well, I was wrong.
Well.
Feeling quite accommodating today. Maybe it's France. Maybe it's just having been in France.
Final email, I think. This is from Jemima. Dear Beans, long-time listener, first-time emailer, I am getting married soon to my wonderful partner.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Who tolerates me listening to Three Bean Salad at full volume on our very small narrowboat. Mm-hmm. We were uncertain about where to go on our honeymoon and settled on a nice cottage in Devon near Biddeford.
Okay.
Or Bideford.
Biddeford. Biddeford, yeah.
As my partner has pointed out, this is very much, I believe, not far from your own lovely host, Mike Wozniak. We are very excited to visit the many local attractions, including Biddeford Railway Heritage Centre and the Big Sheep. While I have no doubt that these will be electrifying, I want to reach out to see if you had any suggestions for other things we could visit on our honeymoon. Many thanks, Jemima. So that's probably specifically for you there, Mike. I mean, Henry, you've been on honeymoon. You can throw in some tips maybe, but I think she's looking for local tips.
Well, the trouble of what she's done there is she's lumped me in with all of Devon, of course. But she's talking about North Devon. I'm in the southeast of Devon.
So insensitive, isn't it? What she just did. So insensitive.
It's another country out there.
Do you obviously to our eyes, it's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
You guys, you know, you'll look quite similar. You've all got the
all wearing wellies.
Sort of, you're all in wellies. You've all got slightly hunched gates that you walk with. You all stare up at the sky through sort of narrowed eyes with suspicion, don't you? What's it doing up there?
What's its agenda?
But you know, you see the differences, don't you? Presumably there's lots of cultural differences, is there? Is there some rivalry? Are you guys in South Devon a bit jealous? Are you a bit jealous of them because they've already got a Blockbusters?
Well, that's what they claim. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I'll believe it when I see it.
I heard they've got two moons up there. What do they need two moons for?
They got double the harvest, apparently.
don't know what I'd advise it. She'll no doubt be hitting the favourite beaches of you know, Woolacombe and Saunton Sands. Something I've never done that I would like to do up there, maybe she could tell me what it's like, is go and see Lundy. I'd like to see Lundy Island.
Can you go on to Lundy Island?
I'm sure you can go on to Lundy Island. I don't know if anyone lives on Lundy Island.
Probably monks.
There might be a monk there. Yeah. I assume there's either some sort of conservationist protecting some...
A single chuff.
Some chuff eggs. And there's a couple of monks, and that's about it. But I don't know. But maybe that's something that's partly why I want to go and see what's going on.
And there'll be acres, won't there, of just bird shit and piss. There'll be fields of it and trenches full of it.
You know where that comes from now, don't you, Henry? So you could talk a good game on all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I know all about that.
So if she's up for going to Lundy Island, I'd be interested to know what's happening up there.
I don't think that's really what this email was, Mike. I don't think it was, can Mike suggest places that I can go and then report back to him about what they might be like?
So what has happened is Mike has managed to turn this into Mike asking them for advice on what to do in Devon, which is a very neat trick he's done. He's managed to pull that off, nearly.
Well, I don't know North Devon very well, beyond sort of going to Woolacombe or Ilfracombe, going to some beaches. She could wander a bit down into the Cornish North Coast. She could go to Tintagel.
Ah, yes, the seat of Arthur himself.
Seat of King Arthur, couldn't she? She could go to Port Isaac, where I honeymooned.
Oh, you honeymooned in Cornwall. That's very 1950s of you, Mike.
We were skint.
Ben, my parents honeymooned, so genuinely in the 50s, this would have been, or possibly 60s, in a Welsh town. There's a Welsh seaside town. Mm-hmm. Which is modelled after an Amalfi Coast Italian town.
Yeah, Port Myrion.
Port Myrion.
That's in north. That's in north. In the north, isn't it? The northwest coast.
Yeah.
But it's such a, because I've always talked about how they honeymooned in Port Myrion, but then I googled it. It's quite a strange, bizarre place, isn't it?
Port Myrion's amazing. I've got a good Port Myrion fact for you.
Go on.
So it was built to look like the Amalfi Coast, as you say, or certainly it's kind of Italian style.
Imagine the beauty of the Amalfi Coast. But with absolutely dog shit weather.
As described to you by someone from Sligo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go on.
So my fact is that a young Jules Holland went there and was so taken by the place that he's got his own miniature Port Myrion where he lives.
Oh my God. He's Port Myrion, Port Myrion.
Yeah, so he's built a miniature Port Myrion where he lives.
Which was already a miniature Amalfi Coast.
Yeah. So he's like he's got a
nano Amalfi Coast.
Exactly, yeah. So if you were to go to Jules Holland's mini Port Myrion and be inspired by that and create your own mini Port Myrion, you would then be carrying on the tradition.
Well, there we go. There's our tip. It's a bit of a schlep, but while you're in Bedford, when you go up to Port Myrion, it should take you, what, 6 hours? 6 and a half?
Ferryman. Patreon.com/3beansalad.
Big thank you to all the Patreons. Everyone who's
Thank you so much.
To our bonus material and all that kind of stuff. You can check out that at patreon.com/3beansalad. There are various tiers you can join. Some of them get you bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, all that kind of stuff. If you join at the top tier, you get access to the virtual Sean Bean Lounge where Mike was last night.
I certainly was.
I imagine it was a pretty raucous time as usual.
It was pretty heavy duty, as per. And...
was it the Avenue Sean Bean Lounge bric-a-brac parade?
It was, as it happens, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it'd be interesting to find out what happens at a bric-a-brac parade, wouldn't it?
Well, why don't I let you know?
The atmosphere in the Sean Bean Lounge was electric last night as crowds gathered from far and wide to witness the Sean Bean Lounge annual bric-a-brac parade, in which Sean Bean patrons flaunted their most cherished purchases from Sean Bean's compulsory weekly car boot sales. Hellbloodhands and Andrew Tracy led the parade with a pair of matching salt and pepper shakers depicting two dogs dressed up as cats pretending to be humans going to a fancy dress party as dogs. Emily Thomas brought miniature porcelain bagpipes, Martin Hunter keyless padlock, Jack Pullman a padded clothes hanger with hook missing, Jane O'Keefe a Ryan Philippe milk jug, and Alex Gray a careworn teddy bear with a story to tell. The Sean Bean Hot Glue Gun Award went to Rachel Crouch for her beautifully restored Dukes of Hazzard sugar bowl, and the Curled Up Dead Spider Prize went to Thomas Smith, whose fourth hand Presto hot dogger contained 50 of them. Between them, Mark Petzold, Rory Cullen, Derek Mann and Rebecca Sands had 89% of a commemorative tea set from the wedding of Prince Edward to Sophie Rhys-Jones, while Taco Doomforge and Ashley Narayanan displayed a beautiful collection of hand-carved, uselessly small wooden boxes. Matthew Bateman proudly showed his wax miniature of the grassy knoll, Callum Thompson a tuning fork, Scott Kay a Warwickshire CID warrant card from 1973, and Vic Tate flaunted some sections of metal tubing that may or may not have been from an old radiator. Johan Torfi Olofsson brandished a stained glass cod, Christie a used Filofax with human bite marks, and Todd Schreeding the sacred amulet of Gilgamesh. The crowd thought the parade had peaked with Joan Jones's 4-kilo electric hand fan or J. Enright's upholstered carriage clock, but they went absolutely bananas as James Donnelly produced his collection of exposed but not yet developed disposable cameras of uncertain provenance. Thanks all.
Okay, now before we go, let's have a look at what version of the theme song we're going to be playing. Players out. Yeah. And a reminder, if you want to make a version of our theme tune, they are always more than welcome. Just send them to 3beansaladpod@gmail.com. No talent too scant is the way I'd put it.
That's our watchword. And it was how we met. Well, it was how we met, wasn't it? It was through that.
The scant talent. Yeah.
Yeah. On the scant talent circuit.
Scant talent roadshow.
Yeah. That's right.
Dan Mackley emails, salutations. Though I have enjoyed the recent theme song renditions, I believe there has been a real void of dreamlike EDM-inflected battle rap trap versions.
Yeah,
he's right. I can't fault him on that.
Yeah.
That's a real genre fruit salad there. Not entirely sure.
Is he going to sort us out?
I didn't even know what EDM is. What's EDM?
I think EDM stands for electronic dance music.
Okay, yeah.
Come on.
Well, as I just call it, music. I mean, that's my baseline. Do you know what I mean?
And of course, Henry, you're big on the trap scene anyway, aren't you? So, well, you're more horse and trap. That's
Von Trap. That's my vibe.
He says, I hope to fill that void with my version attached. And shout out to my dad, Paul, who listens as religiously as I.
Hi, Paul.
Well, thank you, Dan. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul. And thank you all. And thank y'all for listening.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The aisles keep talking away about flags and islands. If the beans were a horse in a race, then the pace would be something akin to a canter. It's no joke when I say that the kings of Luke were banter. He lives in the south and his mouth has a top upper lip of incredible beauty. His reflecto bollocking skills are second only to his love of the monarchy. He sounds like a loveliest gen, but it'd be no surprise if he came out as a murderer.
How does he know where I live?
Well, if you're looking for something you can wake up with, if you wanted three people with exceptional wit, if you want a little chuckle when you're absolutely hammered, it's nothing quite like a little three-bean salad. If you want three people who sound eerily the same, for the first 10 hours you can't tell them by their name.